Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and what I thought I'd do something today is I did that presentation out at IWC over the tower workers' job and safety, and I thought I'd share it with you. So the way I thought I'd share it is just to basically put it on the slides here and send it off to you. So I'm going to start out with the slide one, which is the pretty cover, nice tower site. So what does a tower climber do? He does more than climb towers. He could be asked to do any one of the following: cell ray installation, microwave dish installation, increased structural integrity of the tower, tower construction, broadcast antenna and line installation, equipment decommissioning. There's a lot of work out there for the tower climber. And there's so much more, and there's plenty of work coming up too. So what does your office look like? Do you think you could work at height? Do you need to be over 100 feet up to work? Would you do it? Could you do it? It's a construction job, really. The only difference is you're working at an elevated height. So chances are there's four guys, usually two guys in the air and two guys on the ground. And what happens is that's their job. That's their office for 2 weeks. Their office is right there at the job site, at the tower site. They're going to be the two guys up in the air. They're going to work there. They'll probably be there 6 to 8 hours, depending upon what the job is. But they'll probably be up there all day. Maybe you have three guys in the air. So the other thing is, what do you wear to work? What a climber needs to work every day: safety harness, climbing helmet, gloves, work boots. They have to dress for the weather. They need their lanyards, safety lanyards and positioning lanyards, and their safety gear. And they also need your RF sensors to play it safe. So the tools of the trade, they have to know how to use a lot of different tools: the hand tools, the power tools, the hoists and winches, a laptop. Everybody uses a laptop now. The test equipment, the RF cable termination kits. They probably do RF cable and fiber cables, so they have to be able to work with both in today's world. Then they have a carabiner, rope termination bars, or rope descending equipment. But here I have first aid kits. I also have trauma kits. The first aid kits or something they should have out and know how to use. It's very important. Then the other tools: block and pulley, swivel hook, shackles, slings, buckets, all that stuff. Now, the other thing people don't realize is what a tower climber should be trained with. So most people don't realize what's required of a tower climber, but the first thing they yet generally take is tower safety and rescue. Now, what they have to do is basically know how to rescue someone off a tower. They have to know how to be safe on a tower. That's generally the first class they take, whether it be at 4 hours, 8 hours, 2 days, or 2 weeks. That's the first class they take, depending upon how much they learn. And the other thing they should learn is rigging. Rigging is really learned in the field, but they have classes on it, and I'd highly recommend taking a class. But another thing, I'm going to put these two together: first aid and CPR training. Those two are key. You really should learn first aid and CPR. It's very important, and I would get certified in it. If you're at a tower site, remember, you're hours away from help. You're not close. And any other things: transmission line, fiber termination, rope access is a good thing to learn. I'm a big fan of everyone learning how to rig with rope, not rig, but how to use rope access to maneuver themselves around the tower, to maneuver the equipment up and down. The other thing, hoist or crane operation. I think one of the big problems today is everyone gets a capstan winch and they don't know how to use it, or they just figure it out in the field, which is fine, but you really should be trained on it. There are training videos out there, and really you should get certified on it. And obviously, if you're working with a crane, you have to get trained to work on a crane. You have to get certified. It's very important. So, and then RF awareness, that's another class you should have. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean by just putting the meter on, the NARTA meter, and having it there so it goes off when you're in high RF areas, but you should know what to look for as far as the antennas before you climb the tower. If you see something you don't know, question it. Call the landlord, call the tower owner, question it. And then obviously OSHA 10 hour, everyone should get their OSHA 10 hour if they've been on the job for a while. And depending upon where you work, weather survival, you could be up on a mountaintop in the middle of winter, you could be in the desert in the middle of summer. You really should have weather survival training. And the other thing are crane signals. Now, when you're out at a tower site, everyone knows the obvious hazards. Falling, obviously. Falling equipment, very obvious. You could get crushed limbs. And RF exposure, that's something we don't know yet. A lot of people don't know what long-term RF exposure will do to you. And it seems to affect different people differently. Overexertion It sounds silly, but if you're up in a tower and you pull something, seriously, like your back, your groin, a muscle in your leg, it's going to be hard to get down. It's a very real issue when you're working at elevated heights. Heat exhaustion. You know, a lot of times you're up there in a tower site, you're out in the sun, you're exposed, or you're up there, you don't know how hot or cold it's going to be, but you have a harness on. You can't just take your jacket on and off while you're up there. It's not an easy thing to do. So you can get overheated easy, and dehydration comes along with that. A lot of guys don't think to take water up. Now, what you're supposed to do, if you're a good ground guy, you send water up in their bucket and make sure that they drink all day. It's a good idea. I've had a lot of good ground people that remind me of that, because when you're busy and working, you tend to forget. Frostbite, very real issue. You're working out in the cold, it could be a problem. Sheer exhaustion. You keep working, it's a long day, you don't realize how tired you are. Failed safety gear. It does happen. Safety gear fails. It just does. Severe weather, lightning, broken bones, all those serious issues up there. But what about the not so obvious hazards, like the health problems such as carpal tunnel, joint breakdown, back problems? These are all things that happen over time when you're working at height and you're also working carrying a heavy load. Heavy and awkward lifting are another thing. Constant RF on your body, that's something people don't think about. Long-term sun exposure to the skin. And the other thing, the chemicals like bird poop. Yeah, bird poop on the tower, there's no way to get around it. It's just something that's out there and you have to climb through it. So just try to protect yourself, your eyes, and try not to breathe it in, because it will make you sick. The other thing people overlook are auto accidents. Two climbers died last year in 2014 from auto accidents. Listen, most of you guys know tower climbers generally drive hours to a site. Could be 2 hours, could be 4 hours, could be 6 hours, could be 8 to 10 hours, where they go to a site and then they're there for the week. It's a lot of time behind the windshield. So it's a very realistic possibility that auto accidents happen when you're driving that far with a big, heavy truck. The other thing are bug bites, stings, allergies to these things, spider bites, snake bites. All these are very realistic possibilities when you're working out, you know, on a mountaintop at a tower site. And it's things that people overlook, but a lot of people are allergic to bees, a lot of people are allergic to bug bites, scorpions, spiders. You never know what kind of spider is going to bite you. And then if a snake gets you, then you got to worry about not only the snake bite, but tetanus as well. Now, the last thing I have on here is stress. Stress is a very real hazard to tower climbers, because with stress, you're away from home for a long time, you're away from your family for a long time. It really puts a lot of stress on you emotionally. The other thing is, you're working a dangerous job. It puts stress on you for working that job. And the other thing is, it puts stress on your family because they worry about you, which elevates stress. Stress plus stress equals stress squared. So you have a lot of stress. So it's very hard. The other thing is training newbies. When you train a greenhorn, you get worried. You get nervous. You don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of stress there too. So you really have to be careful. But just remember, safety first. So the number one thing that the industry has done to save people is commit to 100% tie-off. It's a requirement that's been in place for years, and yet not every climber follows it. You know why? It's perception, because most climbers feel that they get things done faster when they're not tied off. But we have to be safe. We have to put safety before the schedule. I know that's easier said than done, but we just have to do it. So the other thing I wanted to ask the audience, would you rescue someone? You think you could do it? Training is one thing, doing is another. Practice, practice, practice. And the other thing, every tower company out there, tower climbers and tower hands, they should have a written rescue plan. Having a safety plan is one thing, but they should have rescue plans as well. It's very important that they have rescue plans. So if you need help, there's plenty of people out there that will help you. You have Tower Safety and you have Safety One. They're a big help in that. So what else is being done for safety? On October 14th of 2014, OSHA, well, the Department of Labor, and the FCC teamed up to perform together to form TIRAP. TIRAP stands for the Telecommunications Industry Registered Apprenticeship Program. And the reason they did that was to build an apprenticeship program to show companies how the apprenticeship program should work. So that's out there. The other thing is Nate helped form the National Wireless Safety Alliance Group. And what they did, they're in the process of creating the National Wireless Skills-Based Training Standard that will cover the training requirements for all positions in tower deployment industry. Why are they doing that? because we need a national standard to be recognized for all companies to see who is trained and who is not trained. That should be out sometime in 2015. Now, when you're at a tower site, you have to pay attention. When you go to work, you have to look for the hazards. You have a lot of hazards. I have a whole bunch listed here. Look them over. You have holes in the ground. You have the weather. You have to pay attention to the bugs, the insects. You have to know where you're at. You have ground connections. You have tower condition, loose hardware. You have to know where the nearest hospital is. You have to pay attention to where those directions are. The directions to the nearest hospital should be posted at the site, because the last thing you want to do is wait for your phone to bring it up. You want to make sure you inspect a rope, inspect the tools, you understand and read the scope of work, you review the daily tasks with the team, you test your phones for coverage. You know, there's a whole bunch of things here. Make sure all your batteries are charged if you're using two-way radios. The other thing I want to bring up, and I'm going to fly through this because it takes a lot of time, but the price of safety. Safety is very expensive. And I got a lot of these prices from different people, but GME Supply helped me price out the safety gear. So you have the safety harness, a climber helmet, you have the descender belay device, all the lanyards, the clothing, the carabiner, and the RF sensor meter, the NARDA. That all costs money. And if you have four of them, you have a set for each guy, it's going to cost four times the money. And I have it on there. It's a lot of money to train a crew. The other thing you have is training. Training is a lot of money. You had a basic climbing and rescue. You should be certified every 2 years, roughly. You have the rigging class, first aid, CPR, RF awareness, OSHA 10. Then the other thing the tower company has to worry about, the crew, the tower climbing company, they have to worry about insurance. Insurance is a lot of money. You have liability. You have all different types of insurance. You have the vehicles, and you have to worry about the people. You have health. You have workman's comp. That's a lot of money. It just all adds up. So you have other things too. In addition to all those are necessity. You have vehicles, you have tools, you have maintenance, you have trailers, you have fuel, you have all the hand tools you have to buy. You got to buy laptops, you have two-way radios, you have power tools, test equipment. You have to buy rope, hoist, winches, per diem, fuel, and maintenance for hoist, the cables and lanyards. You have all this stuff, office support you got to worry about, and then water so you can drink out at the site so you don't get dehydrated. So my point with the price of safety is that getting paid is very important. It's very important to everybody. You have to get paid to maintain a safe company. So when tower climbers start getting screwed out of getting paid, it's a real problem. So what they have to do is plan ahead in all of this. Safety needs a plan. Make sure that there is a rescue plan prior to deployment. You need to make sure you have a rescue plan prior to deployment. What I mean by that is a written plan, so when the guys go out on site, they can modify it and they know the plan. The other thing I'd recommend is that they practice rescue. Because it's one thing, if somebody's hurt and nobody knows what to do, it's one thing. It's terrible. But if everyone says, well, we just practiced this, at least I can get them off the tower, get them down, you call 911, because you practiced it. You have a plan and you know what to do. There's no guesswork. Let me tell you something. Someone once said to me, oh yeah, well, if someone's bleeding in front of you, it changes everything. Totally agree with that. However, if someone's bleeding in front of you and you practiced how to get them off the tower, chances are good you can stop the bleeding and get them off the tower. If you don't practice and someone's bleeding in front of you and you don't know what to do, you don't know if you have the rope, you don't know how to rig the tower, you don't know how to do a rescue, well, then you're in a lot of trouble, because you're going to hope that the fire department gets there in time, gets them down, and takes care of them. Now, with that said, I really want to thank Fire Rescue, because they did do a lot for us last year in 2014. They rescued 5 to 10 guys that weren't hurt. They just couldn't get down from the tower. They just got stuck. It's a common problem. Okay, the state of the industry is growth. Wireless deployments continue. Obviously, you have the FirstNet build. You're going to have two-way builds, public safety builds, AWS-3 auctions. You have so much. And with all that said, you have so much more equipment going on the tower. So structurals are going to be a big deal. So they're going to beef up a lot of these towers. At least I see it that way. They're going to have 5G coming out, you know, in 2019, 2020. So as soon as you're done with the LTE builds and getting all that done, then you have the next generation coming out. It's going to be a lot. Plus, you're going to have the 600 megahertz auctions too. So could you do it? Can wireless systems deploy without the tower climbers? Of course not. Come on, you need the tower climbers. Would your mobile phone work if there were no towers? Wouldn't work very well, would it? Think if you had a Wi-Fi only phone, how well that would work. be great in your house. Well, if you left your house, oh, that'd be spotty, hit or miss. You'd hope you'd get it, you know. Are you on the right Wi-Fi system? You know, with the carrier, where it works and where it doesn't work. So it'd be one thing for these guys not to do their job than the cell phone wouldn't work. But could you spend 8 hours, 300 feet up on a tower for a solid week to make sure it does work? That's what these guys do. So the lessons learned. Lost lives were mostly due to not being properly tied off, mistakes, and poor planning. That's what we see in the industry. Injuries are caused by rushing, taking chances, and failed safety gear. So it's something that we really have to make a difference with. So what are the next steps? Well, the way I see it, the next steps should be required training for every company. Now, you'd think that was there, but you'd be surprised how many people don't do it. These companies start doing train-to-trainer and they fudge it. Required certification, which is going to happen nationwide soon. Apprenticeship programs, I think, are a big plus. If you can put one or two new guys with two or three experienced guys, you're off to a good start. Regular rescue practice. Practice, practice, practice. It makes a difference. To practice the rescue, and you could even practice rigging and tying off to the tower and even rope access. You can practice all that. Proper safety and rescue gear supplies. Make sure you have the right gear. Make sure you have the right supplies for rescue. Make sure you have plenty of rope. Make sure your rope's in good shape. Renewed annual training. You really need to make sure that your training is up to date and renewed probably every other year. Now, that's different than practice. You should practice once a month, once every other month. In worst case, you should practice once a month so everyone's on the same page. I'm not saying take a week off and practice. I'm saying pick a day. Pick a day, pick a tower, and pick a time. Get your crew out there and practice, practice, practice. So that's why I say I have weekly practice on here, but really you could do it monthly. And require 100% tie-off. No ifs, ands, or buts. So when I gave this speech, I was giving it mostly to the customers of Tower Climbers and what they can do. If you're a customer, if you're writing the RFP, if you're hiring a tower crew, if you're hiring a tower company, here's what you can do. Here's a takeaway from this whole thing. If you're going to hire a contractor to climb a tower and you're planning the deployment, make sure you plan to put safety and training requirements in the SOW, which is a scope of work, or the RFP. Make sure you do that. That is what you can do to make a difference. Make sure your contractors are certified, reputable, and vetted. Ask for the certification documentation. Ask for their safety plan. If they have, they should have a safety plan in writing. That's what you can do. Follow through with the industry recommendations for safety with Nate, TIRAP, and OSHA. They should have more information. But build in, the other thing is, another big takeaway is build in money for safety audits. If you can make sure that your contractors are being safe by either hiring another tower company or a safety company or someone to just go out and watch them randomly. I'm not saying you can go to every site. I know that costs a lot of money, but let's face it. If you don't have any money in, you're not going to go to any site. And quite frankly, a lot of customers prefer that. They don't want to know, but that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to make sure these guys are being safe on the tower. That's the right thing to do. Build money in for that, okay? I'd like to thank you for listening and learning. Appreciate your time. I'd like to thank Todd Horning of Safety One, Kathy Brand of Tower Safety, and Todd Schleckaway of Nate for giving, they really contributed to this. So I do appreciate all the help. And then I have, after the end, I have some rescue pictures, which I had some tower pictures I had, and Todd Horning gave me some rescue pictures. I have some reference links in there for TIRAP, Nate, OSHA, GME Supply, and of course my link, because it's all about me. I want you to think about mistakes and accidents. A mistake may cost the climber their life, or at least the way they live. This could also have serious injuries, or at least lose their job. I mean, this is something a climber has to deal with every day. One, they could lose their life. It's over. Two, it could change the way they live, meaning they have injuries that last for the rest of their life, serious injuries. And three, worse comes to worse, they could just get fired. It's just the way it is. Then I listed all the people we lost in 2014 because I thought that was important. And then I have about me because it's all about me. So I hope you enjoyed the presentation. I appreciate everyone sitting through it. Thank you. And I gave this at IWCE and I just thought I'd share it out there with all my listeners and I'd throw it up on YouTube for you guys. All right. Thanks. Bye.